Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about self-expression, communication, and getting the word out. So jump on, see where it goes. Oh, and have a good time.
Welcome, welcome to Blog Talk Radio's The Coco Express for Saturday, January 16th, 2010. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and we're coming to you live. Today's show topic is Why We're Together. We have several special guests for today's show. They are Pastor Stephen E. Carter of Mount Ararat Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York, Garrett Fortner, who is an author of a book titled Let a Sister Know, and Mary Pendergreen. She's a psychotherapist, relationship expert, and she's been on our show before. Okay, allow me to bring them on live. Thank you.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hello, how are you?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great.
Okay, we're missing one person. Let's see. I think we have one connection. Okay, now can everyone hear everyone?
I can hear you.
Yeah. I can hear everyone.
Okay. I would like to introduce each one of you. Pastor Carter, Garrett Ford, Mary Pendergreen. I would like to introduce you to our listening audience as well. I would like to thank you all for coming aboard the Coco Express today. Today we're going to talk about marriage and or committed relationships. Our panelists slash guests were chosen for their very unique perspectives on the subject matter. I believe their titles explain it all. You have a pastor, an author, and a psychotherapist. Okay, I'm going to start off the dialogue by giving some statistics, and then we can begin from there. According to the 2009 statistics from the CDC, the total number of marriages is in the U.S. is about 2,162,000. That breaks down the marriage rate to about 7.1 per 1,000. In 2002, 70% of men and women ages 25 to 44 have never been married. You break that down to about 71% of men and 79% of women. Also, according to the National Healthy Marriage Resource Center, they've done a survey called the American Attitudes Towards Marriage. And they kind of targeted the youth, and they're trying to say that half of high school students believe that choosing marriage over remaining single or cohabitating leads to fuller and happier lives. They also believe that most public policies are generated or geared towards areas where they are targeting large audiences and large groups. And these public policies will make changes in the way a community behaves. So therefore, they're targeting teens and youth, and perhaps they are the generators of our future generation, and their attitudes may be the deciding factors on what happens in regards to marriage and or committed relationships. Okay, now I'm going to ask you all, please give me some real-life truth about some of these statistics. Anyone can begin.
Hello?
Yes, yes, Pastor Carter.
This is Pat. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
First of all, let me just say hello to all again, and I'm happy to be, thanks for allowing me to be on or inviting me to be on this call. Let me just give one perspective. I think one of the dilemmas, many people may not see it as a dilemma, that our generation faced versus previous generations. I think our generation is more selfish than selfless. So when it comes to relationships, any relationships that is a substance requires compromise, sacrifice, and selflessness. And I think that one of the reasons why you find that our generation is full of filled with people starting relationships but not going over the long haul is because in the early part of any relationship is all fun and pleasure and everything else. But when it becomes time to make a commitment that involves sacrifice, that's when our generation, they do not know how to step into that area. So I think that's one of the reasons why people in the 21st century are not committing. And you're finding more people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s who are single, and not only single but content at the same time. So I think that answers the question with the reason why we found a lot of uncommitted relationships of this day and time.
Okay. Mr. Fortner, you wrote the book, Let a Sister Know. Now, my question to you is, based on your experience and based on your research when you were writing this book, why do you find the statistics of men and women of interest? I mean, just based on your experience in your book, you have 71% of men and 79% of women have never been married between the ages of 25 and 44.
I think for men, it's about it's just so much temptation out there, trying to have it all. I mean, trying to put off marriage to the last possible second. You know, I think we live in an age where we're surrounded by, you know, videos, fast life and beautiful women, and most guys are trying to live that dream, trying to have that, what I call that music video. They want the girl in the video. They want to have it not once or twice, but several times. So if they can put off marriage to the last possible moment, they will, and enjoy the single life. And I think for women are basically, I think when they get past 25, are looking for Mr. Right. But it's hard to find Mr. Right when most guys are not looking to settle down until maybe past 45, you know, maybe even 50 nowadays, you know. So, I mean, get it all out of their system, all the running around, all the women, chasing women, that kind of thing, just basically trying to get it out of their system and to be able to be in a committed relationship. You know, I think it's hard for a lot of guys out here today. I mean, when it's just so much having relationships, being in a committed relationship is not promoted, basically. It's not promoted. You don't see it anywhere like marriage is the way to go. Being single is just promoted, hanging out at the club, you know, having fun, but there's no consistent vehicle where you see marriage as the way to go. That's cool. That's happening. It's not. You know, you don't hardly see any meeting where they promote marriage as being cool and sexy and the right way to go. You don't. What you see is being single at the club, this guy hit this girl this week, that guy next week. So guys grow up seeing that. They want to emulate that. So, you know, it's a sign of the times.
Okay. Okay.
Matt, okay.
Go ahead, please.
Can I add something to that? He is so so correct, because growing up, my parents been married 50 years. They just celebrated 50 years, which is rare. But growing up, we saw shows like, you know, The Jeffersons, Cosby, Give Me a Break, Facts of Life, Different Strokes, All in the Family. So we saw shows, for the most part, that promoted family. Now, in this generation, you're seeing shows like Living Single, All of Us, Eve, shows that girlfriends, shows that promote singleness. You cannot really look on television and find anything that promotes family when you listen to the music. I mean, I'm in full agreement with him. It's like our society is filled with everything that promotes singleness, everything that promotes singleness.
Okay. Ms. Penda Green, would you like to share something on that particular, on those two comments that were made by the two gentlemen?
Yes, I'd like to add something. Both men talked about the idea that there were different generations of how relationships were viewed. I'd like to add that at this point, the stigma is removed from being single. In the past, young women would grow up feeling as though my goal in life is to be married. As time has gone on, people rarely say at this point that their goal for themselves is to be married. And so the idea of being older and single is not a bad thing in terms of people seeing it as bad. The other thing is that in the past, young women were not encouraged to go to school, get a job, take care of themselves. They were expected to marry and be taken care of. Today, when there is a shift in the way that people are viewing themselves as women, so that they then start off life getting an education, or if not, at least a career of some sort that will allow them to take care of themselves, most young women don't anticipate that they're going to be taken care of by a man. And that is a part of why people tended to get married. And the other, the last one, which I think is extremely crucial, and that is that there's often a lack of available men because of a variety of reasons, you know, which includes some social reasons like men that might be undereducated, men that might not be available because they are interested in a variety of different women instead of a committed relationship, and men that may not be available because of drugs or prison or a variety of other reasons. So I think that it's a combination of reasons why 79% of the women are not married.
Okay.
Well, can I add?
In committed relationships.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Well, you know, that, I mean, what you said about, you know, the education, incarceration, maybe lack of professionalism and or having a chosen career. A lot of times women have these expectations of men in general. They're not realistic. I mean, a marriage is a union. It's a partnership. You grow together. I'll give you an example. My friend, a friend of mine who was married, a woman, she has a PhD. He was working as a gas attendant. They got married. Now he is the sergeant of a correctional facility. She motivated him and made him, helped him become all he could be. I think a lot of times women are turned off to the fact where he works security, you know, and they just close their eyes to him, not knowing what his potential is, what he's working on. You know, maybe his job is a transit job while he's going to school or while he's working on something else. I mean, I myself, I'm an FSD. I work as an FSD, but I'm an author. I write books. You know, I publish magazines, but that's how I support myself. And oftentimes when women meet guys who may be a plumber or whatever the case may be, he's not wearing a suit. That's not for me. So that's why you have a lot of women who are not married, because they close doors on men who are potentially good. In a collective union, they can probably be all they can be. So you have women who shut them off, shut themselves off to a lot of possibilities, you know, based on that man. He was in jail. He's wrong for me. He's this, he's that. Get to know him. You know, maybe you can motivate him to be all he can be. You know, so you have a lot of times women shoot themselves in the foot because they don't give a man a chance. That, well, you know, he didn't go to college. Maybe he'll go to college and you get with him. Maybe you can tell him why he should go to college. You know, so, I mean, when I hear him say, well, you know, he's not the educator. Well, you know, you like him, right? Yeah, but if you had a little more education, I would date him. Okay. Well, you keep looking. We'll see what happens, you know. I mean,
I agree with that comment, because in essence, sometimes a person that doesn't have a high status job may bring something to the table that will offset that in terms of his being charming or compassionate or insightful in some way or extremely supportive in other ways. So that is true, that sometimes relationships don't come in the packaging that you initially anticipated. Like a man might choose a woman based on how beautiful she is, but as time goes on and people get more mature, they're able to see beyond the beauty, see beyond the status of the job, and open up other possibilities for themselves. I do agree that that is part of what happens over time, and that tends to happen when people get older.
Let me add this: the fact that you would say, if he doesn't have a high status job, maybe he has something else that will offset that, implies that not having a high status job, from your perception, is a dilemma.
Well, it's not about me. I'm as a therapist.
No, I'm saying you said it will offset
and
that.
And I'm agreeing with you. And what I'm saying is that oftentimes you talk about people having unrealistic expectations. I absolutely agree with that. And sometimes people do close off possibilities because they want Mr. Right. They want perfection in some way. And oftentimes they themselves don't bring perfection. Well, most people don't bring perfection because it isn't available. And absolutely, many times people will have as their goal in terms of, I want a person with a large bank account, an executive job, all of those things, and the reality is that they themselves may not bring those things to the table themselves. And so surely lots and lots of women that I work with over time have said things like, he doesn't have this high-status job, so I don't want him. And they overlook options that may absolutely add to their lives and increase their own status in terms of their relationships with somebody by being in a relationship that's much more loving, kind, supportive than somebody that may have a higher status job. Because status job does not lead to happiness.
Well, you know,
First of all, one of the major dilemmas is that people don't understand the biblical meaning and purpose of marriage. I think because marriage has gotten away from what it was intended for, that is now superficial. I'm with the brother in the sense of marriage is more about part. It's more about becoming a team. You are one, and I think we are so individualistic in our own lives and narcissistic in our own ways that. In previous generations, it was about building together. Now it's about what do you bring to the table and what do I bring to the table. Now, I agree with the brother and disagree at the same time. I agree with him in the sense that sisters can definitely encourage brothers to become better. The saying is so true. Behind every strong man, there's a stronger woman. And if President Barack Obama, he said himself, I would not be president had it not been for Michelle, my wife. However, I think that that does not mean that you find someone who is not doing anything. I mean, that means that you find someone, they may not be where you want them to be or where you desire them to be, but if they have ambition, I think that's far greater than someone who may be where you want to be and is content with life.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. I mean, you know, people talk about relationships, you know, and where we are with relationships. I mean, the bottom line of relationship is work. You have to want to work at it. And when you meet someone who's willing to work at it and has a decent job, maybe he works for the city, and you are a corporate lawyer. I mean, she's a corporate, you know, it's like, it can work if you put aside titles and look at, like, what are we trying to build? I want companionship. I want to be with. I want a partner. I'm tired of carrying a whole load on myself. I want someone I can love and grow old with. I mean, we're so materialistic nowadays that you want everything. And in the process of trying to attain everything, you lose everything via being alone by yourself, not having anyone. I know a lot of women who are very, very successful, six-figure salaries, who are by themselves. I know girls who make 50 grand and their husband makes 50 grand. They have a family. They bought a house. And
exactly.
They're happy. I mean, they're truly, truly happy. And I always ask these sisters, so, you know, you make a lot of money. How are you? Well, I just don't find nobody to match my income.
Exactly.
First of all, before he can get past go, he has to match your income. Yeah, he has to make what I make, you know. I met a girl one time. She said, well, if you don't make at least 60 grand, I can't, because I make 75 and he got to make at least 60. I can't deal with him. I said, but you've been alone most of your life. This is why you don't have anybody, because you're cutting him off. He might make 40 grand, you know, with the potential to make 100 grand. So how do you know if you don't get to know him? You know what I mean?
I mean, I absolutely agree about the idea that it is not about money. It really is about somebody that fulfills us in one way or the other. And for the most part, people are attracted to opposites. That usually, while people originally look at the physical aspects of the people, people that stay together over the long haul have things in that other person that helps to fulfill them in some way. That that usually you're not going to get two people who talk a lot who are going to be together. Because in essence, if you have both people talking, that means nobody's listening. Mm-hmm. And so for the most part, you'll get somebody who is a person who manages their money well and basically would be a spendthrift, would often be attracted to somebody who likes to spend. A part of it has to do with the fact that usually people are attracted to somebody that brings something that's different than themselves to the relationship. And the other part of it is that relationships, regardless of who you choose, you need to work on them. Because even things that are attractive in the beginning, when you get together, people start criticizing those things as well. Okay. All relationships require work, and none of them come perfect. And the big issue is that oftentimes people want to get together and live happily ever after. And that's where the movie ends, that we never get to see what happily ever after is, because it really doesn't exist without a lot of work.
Okay, I believe we might have a caller on the line. Let's just check and see. Hello?
Yeah, how you doing? Great show.
But do you have a question?
Yeah, I can tell you a lot of reasons why a lot of black women will not find husbands. I'm a black man myself, and what I see out here is that a lot of sisters seem to equate having a degree and money makes them a good person. And a lot of these sisters don't have wifey skills, and they don't know that. They're really lacking in that department as far as, like, humility, gracefulness, and compassion, just a good heart. There's a lot of gold digging going on out here, and a lot of men have recognized it, and we're just saying no. We're just opting out of this marriage game. And I'm sorry, but it's going to get worse for black women, and particularly, it's really going to get worse. I really, really see it getting worse. I don't see it's going to get any better out here.
Why do you say that?
Huh?
Why do you say it's going to get worse?
Because a lot of brothers are opting out of sisters. They're moving on to other races of women from what I'm seeing out here, all my friends. Mm-hmm. I don't know any. I haven't been to a wedding in probably 3 years. I don't know anyone that wants to marry right now. And I see brothers actually moving away from black women in increasing numbers, because sisters have this arrogance out here that they never had before. They're really arrogant, and they're condescending, and for some reason they think black men are beneath them for some reason, which I don't understand. But
not all of them do.
Well, let me jump in here.
I understand. Yeah.
Can I jump in here?
Wait, one at a time, please.
I just want to say that, you know, to the brother, I mean, I know guys who sound just like you, and
yeah.
I'm not saying, I don't know if you're bitter or you've been through some bad relationships.
No, hold on.
Let me finish.
I'm not bitter.
I'm not saying that you're bitter. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if you are or not. What I'm saying is that, you know, let's do a survey.
Stop, because you don't know me.
I just said that.
I've been married for 21 years to a black woman.
Okay. I'm just saying, let me say why I said that.
Excuse me.
Okay, let's just calm down. This is a show about why we're together, okay? And I would like to talk to you more about your 21-year marriage, because there are questions that I would like to ask you. But let's just let Mr. Fortner make his comment, and then from there, we'll go in the direction that I would like the show to go into, okay?
I don't want him making assumptions. That's all I do.
Okay.
I'm not making assumptions, but I apologize if I made assumptions. What I'm saying is that, like, I mean, as far as, you know, black women moving away from African-American men, I truly, truly disagree, because
if we all stop in our circle of friends, if like I have a lot of friends, and I can't think of many of my friends who are married to white people. I think there's definitely some problems in the relationship area as far as black men and black women are concerned. But moving away, that's strong. I mean, a lot of my friends, all of my friends are married to African-American women, date African-American women. And if we all did a survey and thought in our circle of friends, how many people in your circle, Aria and the Reverend and the other young lady, are married to white women or white men? Not many, maybe one, if that. I mean, black people are more than any other race married inside their race. And you can check that statistic. We are least likely to marry outside of our race, so we're definitely keeping it black. And black women, no matter how frustrated they are with black men and the shortage of black men, no matter how much education they may have, they are still keeping it true to black men. That's my experience, and you can do the research on that. So I truly disagree with that saying that we're moving away from black men. That's not – black men are moving away from black women.
Okay, thank you. Now, I wanted to just throw some more information because I want to flip the script a little bit and show you that there is a called the National Marriage Project, and it was done by Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, and it's titled The State of Our Unions 2007, The Social Health of Marriage in America. And this survey gives you the surprising benefits of marriage. And it leads me to believe that the teens that we mentioned early on, they do have something that we really need to look at. A 1992 study of retirement data concluded that individuals who are not continuously married have significantly lower wealth than those who remain married throughout their lives. Marriage has a tremendous economic impact on society. It is a major contributor to family income levels and inequality. Unmarried childbearing increases child poverty. Divorce costs state and federal governments about $30,000 based on such things as higher use of food stamps, public housing, as well as increased bankruptcies and juvenile delinquencies. And for the college-educated segment, college-educated women are now marrying at higher rates than their peers. The divorce rate among these women is relatively low and has been dropping, and husbands and wives are matched more equally in their education and economic backgrounds. And that adds up to greater marital happiness. Now, Pastor Carter, I'm going to go to you, okay, in regards to that particular bit of information. Do you believe in the equally yoked statement?
Of course I do. But when people hear the term equally yoked, many people misinterpret the term. One, when the term equally yoked was mentioned, it takes it and connects it to a farmer pulling two animals, be it a cow and another animal. He makes the term to say that it must be two animals that are of the same kind, going in the same direction. Because if they're not, it becomes tension. It's impossible to be balanced. In our as human beings, we were made as believers of God. Whenever you choose someone who is not a part of your faith, it becomes tension, and it's almost impossible for it to survive. One reason is because you have different values. You have different things you stand on. You have different challenges. You have different affections towards God. And so I strongly believe that when it becomes a part of deciding that you're going to be with someone, you have to be equally yoked, because anyone who's been married knows that marriage is more than just love. Marriage is about life's purpose and which direction are you going in. So I'm totally in support of being equally yoked.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Now, okay. Do you, each of the panelists, believe that marriage has a huge impact on our lifestyles economically and our health? Do you believe based on the statistics that I presented to you, do you think that being married is a drain on society? Not being married is a drain on society.
I think that, like, Go ahead, sorry.
To follow up about the equally, you know, I think in Drano society, I think, first of all, there's no man is an island unto himself. We're all connected. So I think every action impacts another person. So, for example, if you have someone who is married and they go through a divorce, that inevitably impacts the child, how the child thinks, how the child lives, how the child interprets life. So I do believe that it has a negative impact. However, I have said from my pulpit, and I've said it more than one time, that, of course, I told you I'm the product of parents who've been married for 50 years, and so I'm in support of marriage. However, I think that if a man puts his hand on a woman, that they need to separate until he improves himself. And if he doesn't, then I'm in support of divorce in that manner, in the sense of that God has not made women, and also now nowadays, human beings to be hit upon and abused. So I'm in support of marriage fully unless there is abuse. And I think when that takes place, it automatically has a negative impact upon our society.
Okay. Mr. Fortner, you had something you want to say?
I mean, in terms of like being an individual in society, I don't know if it's a negative impact on society. I think a lot of people, after a certain age, find comfort in being by themselves, so they choose to be by themselves. But another way, I mean, lack of family, you know, does have its effect on, I think, single-parent households raising young men with no fathers in the household. I think in that regard, it has an effect on society. You know, the man is not there to raise the child. So I think in that regard, it definitely has an effect. But overall, a lot of people, because they can't find someone or starting to build lives by themselves, comfortable lives by themselves, by being adopting a surrogate family, if you will, like being part of someone else's family on Thanksgiving, holidays, whether it be a sister or family or friend. You know, there are a lot of women who reside to the fact, I'm not going to have children. I'm not going to be married. I'm going to have these passing relationships. It's just going to be my life. And if love happens to me, great. But in the interim, I'm going to build a life with someone else. I'm going to build a family. I'm going to take care of my sister's children and take them to the movies and build on them and treat them as my own, at the great thing I can give them back at the end of the day. You know, so I don't necessarily agree with that. If you don't get married, that, like, you know, it's a drain on society. I don't think that if you're an individual, I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
I don't want you to think I was saying that it's a drain on society. I'm not talking about being single as a drain on society. I'm agreeing with you. I'm talking about when people are divorced or what have you. It's a drain in the sense of the damage that is done to the child, because whether we like it or not, damage is done when a child has to watch their parents go through a divorce. Because psychologically, that child grows up thinking, is there such thing as stability? Is there such thing as failure? Am I going to get hurt? I don't want to go through what I saw my mother go through or what I saw my father go through. And so I think it creates challenges in that sense. And I agree with you in the sense of the single parents that's coming up in our generation, it produces a problem in the sense of a lot of young men don't have fathers to look to, and a lot of young women don't have fathers to look to. And if you study our prison system, the reason why a lot of young men are in jail is because they have not had positive male role models in their life. It's not that they're bad children. They haven't had positive male role or a presence of a man in their life to be their mentor.
Okay, Ms.
Mary?
Yes.
I think that the issue isn't about whether or not people stay married or not. It's really about the quality of the relationship and its impact on everybody that's concerned. So if people are in a relationship, a marriage, over a long period of time, and they're not getting along with each other, they're not feeling connected to each other, it means that it surely doesn't enhance them or the children. Because sometimes people are together, but they don't support each other, emotionally support each other. And what that means is that each person is not allowed to be able to be the best they can be. And a part of being in any relationship is about being able to be your best so that you can be the best mate that you can be the best parent that you can be. Because with children, if they watch people in a relationship, children learn from what they see. If they watch people who are staying together for the sake of the marriage or the sake of the children, and they see people that are not getting along well with each other, therefore they're depressed, they're not feeling good, they're bickering, they're giving each other the silent treatment, et cetera, it doesn't help to enhance the children as well, because they then are in a situation where they're not experiencing closeness, and each person is distressed because they're not getting their needs met. So my suggestion is that it's really about being able to offer the best that you can be. And at any point that that's not working, it doesn't help the marriage, nor does it help the children. And that, to me, is what becomes the drain on society when people are there, they have headaches, they are not being able to be productive, etc. And so listening to your inner voice, allowing you to be able to make a decision about, is this working? Is it working for me? Is it working for my mate? Is it working for the children? It's basically the way to make a decision about it rather than to say, if I'm in a marriage, I'm going to not be a drain on society.
Okay. Now, I took the liberty of going on Facebook and asking a general question. And I asked to all the folks who are married or committed or in committed relationships, what made you choose that person and how do you keep the relationship alive? And I was really, really intrigued by some of the responses that I got. I got a response from, I believe it's 4 males, 2 females, and 1 married couple, and I'm going to just read to you just little snippets of what they said, and I would like to get you your opinion on it, because from Pastor Carter's perspective, he counsels people before they're married, and he also counsels people when they're having issues. Miss Penda Green, she also counsels relationship people who are in relationships. And from Mr. Fortner's perspective, he also deals with relationship issues based on the advice that he gives to women via his book. One particular person, his criteria for choosing a mate is 6 simple steps. Is she a good person? Is she smart? Did she grow up with a mother and father in the same house? Is she attractive to me? Does she have good credit? Is she loyal to me? Another male said, well, I trusted her. I was seeing other women, but I never felt that if the chips were down, they would have my back unconditionally. My love for her and my faith keeps us together. There were times that I wanted to walk away, but my faith made me stay and work out our problems. Another man said that I fell in love. She had a great background. She was honest, trusting, loving, caring, forgiving, quick to forgive. And he gave me a kind of different answer that made me really think and everything. He said, when I look back from 2 perspectives, the young man versus the old man, I believe that I should have been less stubborn and did some of the things that she wanted to do. And then I looked at, there was another person who said he believes that his choice in choosing the woman that he's with, it was based on honesty, open-minded, intelligent, good sense of humor, how she treats other people. Her goals seem like mine, and they keep it fresh by always reassuring each other how much they love and want each other. The women had a different viewpoint on it, and one woman said, I married him because I actually liked him. the love and devotion keeps us going strong. Another woman said, I married him because he treated me and still treats me the best that any man has ever treated me. He is kind, generous, and loving. Then when you go to the couple, it's very interesting how this particular couple who's been married for 20-some-odd years, and unfortunately the gentleman who's been married for 21 years has gotten off the phone, so he wouldn't be able to respond to this. She said, I thought he was a family guy. I knew he loved me, and I thought he was quite protective and always had a plan and vision. The bottom line is we made a good team. Our relationship has survived due to us living far away from our family, having to work together and depend on ourselves. We also quickly identify anyone who's trying to become an issue between our relationship. And he says, at first it was physical for her. I married her because I felt that we had very similar backgrounds. She was quiet, stayed to herself, and she didn't look desperate. Later, it appeared to be that she was loving, loyal, and she had his back. And they had great conversations and a great time together. And the last thing that he said, the bottom line is this. Men marry character and compatibility. If they are smart, not looks, intelligence, money-making ability, status, they can be a factor. Now, these are married couples or couples who are in committed relationships. Now, based on all this information that I've gotten, what do you guys have to interject about this?
Well, I think that the idea that people are talking about the fact that they are in a relationship where they support each other is extremely important in a long-term relationship, and that they have some personality characteristics that are similar. They have similar values. But most important of what you said is that people stay together who feel that the other person cares about them, that they're considerate, and that they matter. And that's such an important piece of being in a relationship, feeling that that person likes me and is going to have my back when all is said and done.
Okay. Mr. Fortner, did you have something to say?
I just think that, like, you know, a relationship, like, it goes back to just work. I mean, I think people have to understand that going in. I mean, if you get past 7 years, you know, you're good to go. I just think you have to be taught that. You have to see it in order to emulate it. I mean, you don't see it today, so it's hard to even fathom. Like, you know, you hear statistics that's always negative. 2 out of 3 marriages don't make it. And, you know, it's just marriage has a bad rap all the way. I mean, there's no one really talking up the institution of marriage these days. So, you know, if you're in one and today you last 30 years, I mean, it is, people are always amazed. How long have you been married? 10 years. Wow. You know, I mean, 10 years. I mean, when people have been married, like the pastors, 50 years, you know, it wasn't unheard of for someone to be married 50 years. I mean, it was just what we did back in the day. But now if you're married 10 years, people are amazed by it, you know. And I like the fact that, you said, the lady said she got away from friends and family, basically, like, they moved away from all that hearsay and just focus on them at hand, building a team. I love the institution of marriage, you know what I mean? I mean, I was married once, it didn't work out, but, you know, I still love it. I still embrace it. I think it's a great thing. You know, life is easier. When you have one person in your life, it's an amazing thing. But I think that people just lose sight of the fact that you got to work at it. You got to work at it, you know, and that's just the bottom line.
Okay. Pastor Carter, you are in a position that many of us aren't, and you are in a position to counsel couples before they marry, and you're also in a position to deal with them when there are problems. Now, and the other beautiful part of it is you've been in an environment where you've seen a married couple interact pretty much all of their life.
Correct.
Yes, so
go
ahead. I mean, so therefore, I'm sure you have a very different perspective on the whole institution of marriage.
Well, one thing, I totally agree with Mr. Fatima, and the lady who's on the phone with us, please give me her name again.
It's Mary Pendergreen. Mary Pendergreen.
With Sister... because it's Miss Mary Pendergreen. One, I think people do not understand the essence of sacrifice. My parents, I said, you know, been married 50 years, but they were a team. They worked together. They loved one another. They encouraged one another. And whatever my father's weaknesses were, you know, my mother had that area, and whatever her weaknesses were, my father had that area. They communicated. And I'm certain they had their ups and downs. But another thing, you know, they kept God at the center. So, and they knew one another. You know, 50 years, I mean, you have to know one another. But as a pastor, when I'm doing premarital counseling, I always have both of them in one of our forms complete this thing that says 10 things you desire in your mate. And when they hand me the form, I then ask them, how many of the 10 things you desire do you possess? I think a lot of times we look for things that we don't possess to try to free us of the responsibility of growing into that. So I think it takes, you know, understanding, are you being realistic, or are you asking for more than you're actually given? Are you looking for a person that is 100% complete? And I'm with Mr. Fontenot. It takes work. It takes sacrifice. When a couple is having challenges and they come, I usually ask them, you know, have y'all prayed about this? And 9 out of 10 times, prayer is never in the equation. They're always saying, I spoke to this person, I spoke to that person. And I always try to encourage people who are in relationships, you got to be careful of where you seek advice, because whenever you accept the advice of individuals, you inevitably accept their lifestyle. And sometimes people will give you genuine advice for love, but they're still giving it out of pain because of their experience. So where a sister may be in a relationship and a brother may get on her nerve in the area, and a family member may say, well, just leave them alone and move on to someone else, whereas it may just take patience and communication. And I try to stress to people, relationship is just that. It's two people that's together, and ship implying is headed in a direction. And there's going to be some turbulence, but the goal is to continue moving forward and not just jumping off board when it gets rocky.
Okay, what I find is I actually sat in on, I think Essence Magazine had a marriage chat on Wednesday night, and I sat and I observed some of the comments that were made, and what I learned from that chat was we spend too much time in the blame game. You know, we're always blaming, you know, this person and that person, or this person's lack of. And what I believe is that instead of always trying to blame, we should try to find out what the issue is and communicate better with each other and find out how we can bridge this gap so that there isn't statistics like 71% of men and 79% of women have never been married. Now, what
one of the things that I'd like to say about that is that it's not about finding the right person. It's about being the right person.
Being the right person.
And if indeed you're working on yourself, you are much more likely to be able to be in a relationship with somebody else. And so if there is a focus on what someone else isn't doing, you might want to think about, what is it that I can do to make the difference? And many times people need help. They need counseling to be able to understand what it is that they want for themselves and what it is that they are expecting someone else to do for them. And in essence, if you work on being your best self, you can bring a healthier person to the relationship and thus make the relationship more workable.
I'm gonna say something that may put me out there in a sense of perspective. Now, my parents, one thing that messed me up, Mr. Fontaine, is seeing, which is a good thing, but my father worked pretty much. He was the breadwinner of the house. My mother owned a business inside of the house, so she was always inside. You know, inside the house, the business was upstairs. So what I saw growing up was
Hello?
I'm here.
I'm here. Hello?
Hello?
I'm
here. Must have lost him. He must have dropped out. I'm going to have to dial him again. But let's see. We're going to, well, you can guys can continue. I'm going to dial out again and see if I can get him back as quick as possible.
What time do you back?
Okay. Now, what I wanted to understand was, why are we not paying attention to the examples that are given out there? I mean, there are clear examples of couples that work and that they are happy and they are working out just fine. What is wrong with society today that we can't pay attention to the various couples?
I think it's very complex. I mean, oftentimes we are expecting that we're going to get married or be in a committed relationship and live happily ever after. The reality is that most of us need some directions in terms of what to do, because nobody taught us. It's no place
Stephen,
in school that we learn
right.
to do those
Please
things.
Please leave a message.
Oh, I can't get through to him. Okay.
I just want to say, you know, you have too many images, you know, to the opposite of good relationships. I mean, you know, it's the process of beat down. Like, you're overrun with images of being out there, being wild, living free. And that seems to be, like I said earlier in this broadcast, that it was that's what's happening. So you can have, say, 5 or 6 images a day of marriage being the way to go, but you're overrun by thousands of other images saying the opposite. You see what I'm saying? So it's a hard marriage. Has a hard.
Stephen, can't come to the phone right now.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Marriage has it's hard out here for marriage to, again, to get its accolades and to receive its props, if you will. We know that marriage is a good thing. I mean, hopefully you have your parents to look to, but is society trying to really dig up marriage these days and try to make it the thing to do? Absolutely not. I mean, you know, you might see the wedding shows, and ironically, you have these wedding shows that see brides getting ready for the wedding, but they're not getting ready for the long haul. And most of those marriages, they just want the fairy tale, the wedding, the big cake, the party, but those marriages end often in a year or two, and just stuck with the memory of a big party that cost them tens of thousands of dollars. Marriage has a hard way to go out here these days because no one's really trying to promote the long haul of marriage or the greatness of the institution of marriage these days.
I think sometimes people just don't know how to make it work because they get stuck in a pattern that's destructive, or they are not clear about how to disagree with each other or how to communicate when their needs aren't being met or how to be able to listen and understand what other people's need might be. And so in essence, it's really a lack of clarity about what makes a healthy relationship.
Okay, so I mean, we do have like a few issues that we have to address both individually and both, you know, collectively as a group. And, you know, we have people who called in, like that particular individual called in and stated that, you know, it's the Grim Reaper has come and you know, it's over for all sisters. I don't agree with that, and I don't believe that that is the case. However, it is an issue. It is definitely an issue, and we need to kind of like try to figure out, you know, what we're doing wrong, because there are plenty of people out there from my perspective, and I just don't understand why it's the degree of difficulty is so high.
Well, the reality is that everybody has lots and lots of pressure in a variety of ways, and so life is more complex than it used to be. People had different expectations for themselves and for a couple in the past. And so as life has become more complex, it requires more complex answers in terms of how to be able to negotiate at the point that you're in a long-term relationship. And is it worth it? Are your needs being met? Are you feeling satisfied in a relationship. It's not just about being in a relationship. It's about being satisfied in a relationship and satisfying someone else in that process as well.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we haven't been able to get Pastor Carter back on the line. I can't seem to get through to him, and I really wanted to hear exactly, you know, what his comment was and where he was going with his statement. And I really, really would like to thank each and every one of you for joining me on the show. It was really an interesting show. And we have really covered some really important issues. We've made statements. We put the information out there. The dialogue is open. So that means that people are really willing and readily open and talking about relationships and the fact that they want to be in relationships and that they want to be able to take it to the next level and make that commitment. So therefore, it's not over by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm just so glad that I had the opportunity to have this meeting of the minds and just be able to just hash it out, talk about it and get the word out and just express exactly what it is that's being said by our panelists, what's being said by the statistics and all that other stuff that's going on. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Mary Penta Green, for coming on the show today. Thank you, Garrett Fortner, for coming on the show today. And, Garrett, your book is available at Barnes & Noble, correct?
Yes.
Okay. BarnesandNobles.com. You can get Let a Sister Know. And Pastor Carter's Church is located on Ralph Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. I guess you can go online and you can find out the exact address. I don't have it on my hand at this particular moment. So if you're ever in Brooklyn, New York, and you want to visit a church, Pastor Carter's Church is available for you there. So with all of that in mind, I would like to thank each and every one of you for coming on the show once again. And I would like to thank my listeners for all joining in. Thank you and have a good day. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
This is our stop for now. So come back soon and hang out with Aurelia Lyles on the Cup Express. See where she goes next. Until then, keep it real.